DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I think that today is going to be a very good day on our program, and the reason why I think that is, I'm actually going to make a series of what I think of pretty big announcements. Some may be a little bit bigger than others, but a lot of announcements on today's program. Normally, when I have new news to break, I sort of try to space it out over the course of time, but I figured, why not? Let's go ahead and dump a bunch of new stuff into the program here today. I've got a lot of fun things I'm going to be telling you about here over the course of our time together, so stick with us here for the full program on that. Before we get to any of that, though, let me start the show off this way. You know, I think of myself as a person with fairly thick skin. I don't get too riled up too easily. If somebody says something to me on Twitter about me, some sort of personal thing or whatever, or some other social medium, for the most part, it doesn't really bother me. You know, if somebody says something about Georgia, opposing fans, you might imagine I hear from a lot of opposing fans, folks who cheer for other SEC teams or other college football teams. They take the occasional jab at Georgia. For the most part, that stuff sort of goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't really bother me all that much. There is, however, one criticism of a Georgia player that does just sort of get all over me. It kind of drives me crazy, and I don't really know why. I don't think I'm taking this personal. I just think that my perspective on this gives me insight that people maybe far removed from the program don't have. And that criticism is this: that somehow Jake Fromm, the Georgia quarterback, the starter last season, and as a freshman, was the kind of quarterback who was sort of only capable of shining, only capable of, looking great on an offense that was all about running the football. That Fromm was a limited quarterback, and he could have limited success in a team that was sort of built around running the football. As long as you don't ask Jake Fromm to do too much, he was going to be fine. You hear this sometimes from opposing fans. You hear this sometimes from media nationally. And I've always just sort of felt like this was just a wrong perspective on Jake Fromm. That for those people who saw Fromm closely, for those people who watched his full freshman season, the one thing that you saw was this was a guy that had great success when he was asked to throw the football. He may not have been asked to throw the football a lot, but when he was asked to throw the football, he certainly came through with shining colors. So given that as my opinion, I feel very validated by what apparently an SEC coach also thinks about the same subject, because Athlon Sports did something that I really love. Y'all know that I like the preseason magazines. Athlon is kind of one of these. And one of the things that the preseason magazines do from time to time is they'll get anonymous quotes from other coaches to say, hey, what do you really think about Georgia? What do you really think about, you know, some other opponent? Stuff like this is just fun. We spend a lot of the offseason talking about some of this kind of stuff. And Athlon Sports on its website recently published some of these anonymous quotes from SEC coaches about Georgia and the other SEC teams. And something that one of the coaches apparently said about Jake Fromm I find to be very interesting. And as I said, sort of a validation that maybe Fromm is better than some opposing fans think that he is, or maybe some opposing or national media think that he is. Let me show you the quote here from Athlon Sports when it comes to Jake Fromm, and I think this is very interesting. Let me read this to you for those of you listening to the radio or the podcast version, but on the screen I'll show it to you and let you see it. This is the anonymous coach. I think Jake Fromm is a baller. I didn't know we were still using that phrase in 2018, but nonetheless, Jake Fromm is a baller, he says. I don't know what it is, and it's in quotation marks here, but he's got it. All year, he heard from everyone. They're just running the ball. When they get into a real game, he won't be able to pass. Those are the things that the coach says that Fromm heard in terms of criticism. Then the coach goes on to say, well, to the best of my observation, every time he was asked to do it, he stepped up. Whether it was the SEC championship game or three quarters of the national championship game, he played very, very well. That is an anonymous SEC coach being quoted by Athlon Sports. And I completely agree with this. You know, we'll get to the notion of is Fromm a baller and does he have the it factor in a moment. But just in terms of being better than some people thought he was, I think that's just objectively true the closer that you watch these games. You know, the coach there doesn't mention the Rose Bowl, but that's another example of, you know, Fromm doing battle with the Heisman Trophy winner and the high-powered offense of the Oklahoma Sooners. And that day, Fromm was asked to make some big throws, and he made a lot of them there in that game. That was another one of those testaments to what Fromm was as a freshman quarterback. But ultimately, the story about Jake Fromm goes far beyond his sort of, quote, baller skills that the coach mentions there. It is a bit about the it factor. It is a bit about that leadership quotient. And what this anonymous SEC coach thinks that he noticed about Jake Fromm, other people have apparently noticed as well. Take Bruce Arians, for instance, the former Arizona Cardinals head coach who's a friend of Kirby Smart's and who had visited a Georgia practice back during the spring. And when Arians spoke at his own golf tournament earlier this summer, apparently that impression or that visit that he took to Georgia, Jake Fromm made a big-time impression on him there that day. Here is Bruce Arians, the former Cardinals coach, talking about the it factor that Jake Fromm supposedly has. Take a listen to this.
I'm amazed at Jake, his command of the team, not just on the field. When I was sitting in a team meeting room, he walked in. You could tell it was his team at such a young age. And the young quarterback is just an unbelievable athlete. And there are no worries about the quarterback position at the University of Georgia for a long time.
So a nice nod there towards Justin Fields at the end of that quote, but I love what Bruce Arians says. And Arians is a guy that's been around really good quarterbacks in the NFL. He knows a lot of them. As Mike Griffith wrote Dog Nation, he literally wrote the book on developing quarterbacks. And one of the things that that he knows about Jake Fromm is when you walk in that locker room, you can tell that this is Fromm's team. That leadership ability is a big part of the repertoire that Jake Fromm brings to the table. And listen, I think that Georgia's going to need that here this season. You know, one of the things that Fromm has sort of pushed back on, if you want to go back to when he spoke to the media during the spring, much like things that Kirby Smart has said, some of the other Georgia players have said, they're not worried about losing the national championship game. They're sort of viewing this season as a chance to sort of start over from scratch with a new team, needing new accomplishments, not remembering the success from last year or the disappointing way in which it ended. And obviously, you know, that's the goal, I think, for every college football team who's ever been in this position that Georgia's in. But we also know, to a certain extent, this is easier said than done, right? I mean, you know, for a lot of these guys, they're getting more pats on the back than they've ever gotten before. And for a lot of these guys, you know, that fear of, hey, almost winning the national championship, being this close to a goal like that, does that do something to you mentally? Well, Georgia's trying to sort of push all of that aside, the good and the bad, trying to push all of that aside, keep all of that at bay. And it does take a quarterback with the it factor. It does take a quarterback who has clear command of the locker room, I think, to sort of help get that done. And Fromm, in his own words, says that, you know, he does view this season as the kind of season in which they're not thinking about last year at all, but starting over from scratch with their very first goal, which, according to Jake Fromm, is winning the division. Here is Jake Fromm.
At the end of the day, we come in and we want to compete and we want to be the best we can be. It starts with ourselves, and then we want to dominate everybody in the East. At the end of the day, we're competing with ourselves, and it kind of starts in-house, trying to get better every day.
I think that's an interesting phrase there. Jake Fromm talks about dominating everybody in the East, and maybe that is what a true leader at quarterback thinks here. Yes, you were in the playoff a year ago. Yes, you won the SEC a year ago, but it all starts over from scratch here this season. It's about dominating the East. And maybe one of the things that will make Georgia better in 2018 is Fromm proving the anonymous SEC coach prophetic here who says that he truly is a, quote, baller. You know, I do think that Georgia's going to throw the ball a good bit more this season. I do think it gives Jake Fromm a chance to show off his skill set here a bit more. But it's those leadership abilities that Fromm has that Georgia's going to lean heavily on here as well. I mean, I will tell you that here at DogNation.com, we're getting ready to unveil our brand new video series previewing the upcoming season. And we had some meetings about, you know, what we wanted that to be, what we wanted that to look like. You know, last year we did own the East, and Georgia's own credit union is coming back to a team up with us on that again. And I was adamant about, you know, this series again this year needs to be own the East again, even though Georgia may go on to win the SEC once again in 2018. It may go on to be back in the college football playoff once again in 2018. I think that Jake Fromm's message there is important for, you know, not just the coaches and players to think about, but for the fans to think about here as well. It does all start over from scratch here in 2018. And the myth that Jake Fromm is just a quarterback on a team that runs the football, obviously he's going to confound those expectations a bit this season. At least that's what UGA fans hope for. And they also hope that his leadership ability, his ability to kind of command and control that huddle in that locker room, takes Georgia back on the same path it was on in 2017, starting with winning the division, moving on to winning the SEC championship, and maybe back in the college football playoff by the end of the year as well. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza. We are glad you were with us, no matter how you get to us today, live on video at 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, Dog Nation YouTube, and the Dog Nation Twitter feed. We're also on the radio for you at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form pretty much wherever podcasts will be found, whether it be the Apple Podcast Player or the Google Podcast Player there on the Android devices, SoundCloud, the world famous DogNation.com. We're just glad you have found Dog Nation Daily here today. And we're really thankful to Marco's Pizza for making all of this possible. Right now, Marco's invites you to get into your game plan with a little Marco's Pizza with dough made fresh and an original sauce recipe and three signature cheeses. Every Marco's Pizza is made primo. Every store, every day, the Italian way. You can order yours today from Marcos.com. We're going to have Mike Griffith here coming up in just a moment. Also coming up in a couple of minutes here, I told you that I have a couple pretty significant announcements to make on the program today. I'm going to share a lot of really fun details on those, and as I suggested a moment ago as well, make sure you're paying attention to that Own the East video series returning here to AdogNation.com, brought to you by our friends at Georgia's Own Credit Union. A really great way to preview the upcoming season, and Jake Fromm's words important here. We want to dominate our East Division opponents, and then we'll worry about Alabama, and then we'll worry about whatever comes next. That's an interesting idea and perspective from Jake Fromm there, and I guess we'll adopt that same mindset around Dog Nation here as well. So check out the Own the East video series, courtesy of Georgia's Own Credit Union, coming very soon here to AdogNation.com. Speaking of video, by the way, for those of you watching, I want to give you a little taste of a pretty cool video that Kirby Smart tweeted out recently. And we know that recruiting for Georgia never stops. And if you're listening to the show, obviously you won't be able to see the video, but you're going to be able to hear this, and you'll be able to hear a lot of great former UGA players now in the NFL. And you know, I just think that, you know, Georgia's got a pretty cool legacy right now of former dogs in the pros, many of them having great success, many of them rookies on the verge potentially of great success. And you've got to imagine that future recruits to this program are paying very close attention to that, and they want to travel on that same path here. And this video put together by Georgia, if you're a UGA fan, you're going to love it because it's great memories of great guys who did very big things in a Georgia uniform. But you also know this probably also works for recruiting as well. Take a look at a really cool video, or if you're listening, listen in on this great sales pitch from some former Georgia players to recruits about how much Georgia has meant to them.
What's up, Dog fam? Nick Chubb here.
Jordan Jenkins.
Alec Ogletree here.
I'm Isaiah Wynn.
Chris Conley.
Malcolm Mitchell.
It's David Andrews here.
Reggie Davis.
It's Matthew Stafford.
It's Sonny Michel with the New England Patriots.
The New York Jets.
The Atlanta Falcons.
The New York Giants.
Currently with the Cleveland Browns, and I spent 4 years at Georgia. It was definitely the best time of my life.
Had some opportunity to play in some of the biggest games of my life in front of the best crowd I've ever played in front of.
It's something else, man. It puts fear in people's hearts.
I played in a lot of stadiums, played in 2 Super Bowls.
But one of the most electrifying feelings is suiting up and playing between the hedges.
Not only represent the university, but you represent your family and everyone that came before you and that will come after you.
Is there a reason why you're wearing red and black?
Because I'm a dog. Born a dog, I'm a die dog.
I visited many schools, and there's nothing like Athens, Georgia.
Oh, man, you know, we're the best at what we do.
It's a special time. It's a special moment.
I always tell people choosing to go to the University of Georgia is one of the best decisions I have ever made.
Once you're a Bulldog for life.
Lastly, go Dogs.
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 Yeah, listen, I thought that was really well done, and I would imagine that really works on recruits here. And for those of us that, you know, remember Thomas Davis, or you remember the guys from last season that had great success in a Georgia uniform and moved on to the NFL, there's just a lot of really fun stuff to remember about that. I couldn't help but notice Nick Chubb also said he currently plays the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if that means he's already thinking about playing somewhere else or what, but that was really good stuff there from Kirby Smart on Twitter, and a great message to future UGA recruits. All right, we got Mike Griffith coming up in a moment. Before that, let me tell you about a couple things we have coming up here at a Dog Nation that I am really excited about. First of all, one of the things that many of you have been asking is, hey, when are we going to get back to doing some Before the Hedges recruiting talk again? That's the recruiting show that Jeff Sintel has been a part of. Well, I've got great news for you. It is coming back a week from today. Brand new time, bigger and better than it's ever been before. I'm thrilled to be a part of that. I'm teaming up with Jeff Sintel. We're going to do Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger, starting this upcoming Wednesday. That's a week from today at 3 p.m. Eastern time, right here in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studio. So Jeff and I doing Before the Hedges, and we're going to be doing every single week, you know, all year long, recruiting talk with Jeff Sintel before the Hedges returns. I'm looking forward to being a part of that. 3 p.m. on Wednesdays. You're going to want to mark that time and that day down. Circle that on your calendar. That's going to become the time to remember for UGA recruiting talk before the Hedges every Wednesday at 3 p.m. right here from our Dog Nation studios. Really, really excited about being with Jeff Sintel for that. Also excited about being with Jeff and you for a big event we have coming up here now in a few weeks. This is something I'm going to tell you a lot about in the days ahead, but I want you to go ahead and mark your calendar down. Coming up later on the month of August, we still haven't quite 1,000% sort of zeroed in on the specific day, but we are going to be at the brand new Kroger in Cumming. It's 5550 Bethelview Road for our Dog Nation season kickoff. It's going to be Jeff and me and a lot of fun and surprises there that night. You never know what all is going to go down. We did one of these last year and done really the last couple of years. It's been great. This year, many of you have been saying, when are you guys going to get up north and come see us up 400? Well, we are going to do that coming up later on in the month of August. 5550 Bethelview Road in Cumming for our Dog Nation season kickoff. We're going to tell you all about that a lot in the days ahead, and we want you to make plans to be there. It is a really fun way to start off the 2018 season. We can't wait to do that with you. So we'll talk more about that kind of stuff in the days ahead. For now, let me say it's great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, and hope you enjoy Mike Griffith right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So we'll talk to Mike Griffith here, our brand new Dog Nation insider, who's doing some great things here on the beat for DogNation.com, and also getting settled in there in Athens here coming up over the next few days. And Mike, I almost did this as a Dog Day Q&A in our show today to ask folks to sort of weigh in and give you a little advice on, you know, what you should know about living in Athens. Do you feel like you're getting comfortable with the classic city here? Kind of figuring some things out in terms of, you know, where you want to eat and kind of where you want to hang out. How's Athens treating you thus far?
Well, I've only had a few visits, Brandon. I'm actually driving down right now with my car loaded. I think, as you know, I've been commuting the whole month back and forth, and, you know, now it's real. I mean, I'm actually driving out of my old Knoxville neighborhood, and I think it's so appropriate that that this is how I exit Knoxville, doing your show and talking with Georgia fans.
Well, I have been told, Mike, that the best view of Knoxville is through the rearview mirror. Can you confirm that?
Wow, that's pretty harsh, Brandon. I don't know. I'll tell you what. Apparently, John Emery's father thought so because he transferred from Tennessee to Nicholls State, and now his son, a five-star running back from Louisiana, he was a part of that Three Dog Night recruiting weekend.
Whoa, did you coin that phrase, the Three Dog Night recruiting weekend? Is that yours? Is that yours?
No, that's probably a clever fan. I don't know. Maybe it was the same fan that came up with that Beatles picture of me, you, and Jeff and Chip. There's a lot of clever and fun Georgia fans. So I'm going to guess that was came from the Bulldog Nation somewhere.
Yeah, that's really good stuff there. One of the things, Mike, I was talking about before you joined us was, you know, what an anonymous coach from told Athlon Sports about Jake Fromm and really sort of praised him as having the it factor and saying that, you know, a lot of people who think that Fromm is just the kind of quarterback who succeeds on a run-first team, that maybe they're underrating Fromm a bit. You have seen Fromm. You'll see him a lot more closely and more up close and personal here in 2018, but you've seen a lot of Jake Fromm. Would you agree with that assessment from the anonymous coach that maybe there's more to Fromm than meets the eye from the people who've only sort of paid attention to him casually?
I don't know. I mean, did that come from an Alabama coach? Because it's pretty clear that's all Jalen Hurts could do. I think he embarrassed, you know, all the people that voted for him as SEC Offensive Player of the Year over Josh Dobbs, because the minute somebody stopped the Alabama run, that guy turned into a pumpkin at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. No, I think Jake Fromm can do more than just hand off. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, he's not Cam Newton back there. You know, he's not running around but he does have decent mobility. He makes good decisions. He makes fast decisions. And let's remember, he was only a freshman. I mean, the guy's going to get better. So he'll get better, bigger, stronger. I like the way he plays. I think that, you know, Jim Chaney's an outstanding offensive coordinator. We know that. He's proven tremendous play caller, puts Jake in good situations. And you know what? We don't really have to find out because they've got such a good offensive line that I think we're going to see a lot more of the same this year from Jake Fromm.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, Mike, just to kind of follow up what you're just saying there. When you want to evaluate Fromm here for 2018 or really evaluate anything but the Georgia offense, and sometimes these offensive projections have a way of not quite working out the way you think they're going to. But for Georgia, I think one of the things that maybe the national media has not paid as much attention to, because they're not following all of these names quite as closely, is that one of the position groups that almost for sure is going to be an upgrade for Georgia from 2017, I believe, is the offensive line. With all due respect to Isaiah Wynn, who's a first-round pick and probably going to do great things with the New England Patriots, this to me just projects to be a better offensive line, which does make the outlook for Fromm a little different, right?
Well, yeah, you hope so, and you hope it makes the outlook for the Auburn game a little better, because going back and looking at last year's games, I mean, they just got absolutely embarrassed and manhandled by Auburn. And, you know, I can't even conceive that based on what I saw, you know, Georgia do early in the season. Remember, I told you in September they were the best team in college football, but, you know, they didn't show up for Auburn and Jordan-Hare, and that was an embarrassing performance for Georgia. That offensive line just got dominated. And you know what, really? They got room to step up from the national championship game. You know, the offensive line, it was their job to take over in the second half, and they just didn't get it done. So they need to improve. We know where the bar is set. I mean, as I was saying yesterday, Brandon, when I provide critical analysis, I want people to understand something. I'm not doing it based on a 9 or a 10-win team, okay? This program is at a national championship level now, and that's where the bar is set. 10 wins, I mean, I can't even imagine less than 10 wins. I don't even know what it would take for Georgia to only win 9 games. That's not even in the discussion. We're talking about a team that should and probably will win the SEC championship, and the question is, can they finish the job this year? And that's how they're going to be judged, and that's how they're going to be evaluated. So if you're looking for a beat guy that's going to say, oh, they did a really nice job against Austin Peay, no, I'm going to evaluate this program on national championship standards. I've covered undefeated teams at Auburn, at Tennessee, and 3 top 10 teams at Michigan State. So I know what a championship team looks like, and I thought Georgia looked like that team last year, until they melted down in the second half. Disappointing second half against Alabama.
We showed some video before you joined us. The Kirby Smart had tweeted out of some of his former players and some former UGA greats now in the NFL, sort of making a pitch to future recruits about what it was about Georgia they like so much. I'm guessing you're going to join me in saying that stuff like this has a way of really working out pretty well for recruits. I imagine that's a pretty enticing message to say, come to UGA following the footsteps of a Matthew Stafford or a Sony Michel or, guys of that regard. I would imagine that videos like that probably land pretty well with the recruits, wouldn't you guess?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, ultimately, their goal, many of their goals, is to play in the NFL. I mean, if you're coming to Georgia, you're an NFL caliber player. All you got to do is look at the recruiting rankings to see the type of caliber of player that they're getting. Now, here's what needs to happen, though. They've got to keep an underdog mentality. And, you know, thanks to the good people at Alabama and Auburn, that's possible, because Alabama fans, it's amazing. I had someone on Twitter come after me and tell me how ridiculous and embarrassing I was to suggest that Georgia was on Alabama's level. Now, wait a minute. Which team won the SEC championship last year? Which team did beat Auburn? And as far as the championship game went, it was tied at the end of regulation. It was an overtime game decided on a fluke play. So I look at the recruiting rankings right now. I see one team with 5-5. Why isn't Georgia on the same level as Alabama? Oh, because the Alabama fans say that Georgia chokes. They choke. Every year they know Georgia's going to choke. That's what the Alabama fans say. Now I'm coming down to Georgia to cover this program. I've seen Georgia win some big games. I've seen them lose some big games too. But you know what? It wasn't so long ago that Alabama got asked out by Ohio State in the playoffs. So I'm just saying, I think Georgia's on a level with Alabama. I think they should win a national title, Brandon, and if not this year, next year.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, Mike. Really interesting conversation to be had about that subject in the weeks and months to come here. You mentioned the success that Georgia enjoyed recruiting this past weekend, and it seems like a lot of that is sort of attributed to the fact they made, you know, such a big show out of unveiling this new West End Zone facility for the recruits that are on hand, the brand new locker room and the new recruiting facility. What do you make of this building seemingly generating so much attention and I guess enthusiasm on the part of recruits? This is a pretty good sell job by Georgia. At least it would appear to be that way.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It just brings them up to speed with everybody else. They've been doing it without it. This doesn't put. And here's the thing. I understand this. Fan bases go there. Oh man, we got the greatest. No, you don't. I've been to LSU. LSU's got great stuff too. So is Alabama. So is Tennessee. Georgia's behind. You're playing catch up with facilities with the elite of the elite. Now, I don't believe that the ultimate decision for a kid comes down to what the building looks like or what the locker room looks like, but it absolutely plays a role. It's a part of the decision. And now Georgia's finally catching up to where Alabama and Tennessee have been. Tennessee had better locker room facilities than Georgia. I mean, it wasn't even close. Tennessee's had a recruiting room for years. Tennessee was on the front end of the academic support center. Tennessee was on the front end of all these facilities in the 1990s. But you know what happened? Everybody else caught up. And now Georgia's caught up. Now Georgia's got a locker room that's on par with Alabama, LSU, Tennessee. Michigan State had a better locker room than Georgia. So, yeah, go ahead, pat yourself on the back and say it looks good. But I'm going to tell you, as somebody who's been around, it's about darn time Georgia gets these kind of facilities.
Yeah, I think a lot of Georgia fans might agree with that. You mentioned a moment ago that Georgia's been having some recruiting success, even without having this brand-new Sterling facility. You know, you've watched Kirby Smart, what he's done here at Georgia over the what really is going to be his fourth recruiting cycle, and it'll be just his third year in the field, but he's working on his fourth recruiting cycle. I mean, what do you attribute that to? Three commits over the course of the weekend, you know, knocking on the door again of being in the top three again for 2019, which would be Georgia's third straight year of putting that together, kind of an unprecedented run for this program. Why is Kirby Smart having more success recruiting than maybe previous Georgia coaches have had? And even if you want to compare him to some of the other coaches nationally, the first, you know, three or four recruiting cycles are going to put him on par with really anybody. How has Kirby made recruiting look as easy as he has, if you had to sort of describe it to someone who hasn't been paying close attention?
Well, it's a number of things. Number one, Georgia's a great school. Just look at the academic ratings of Georgia compared to Alabama. I mean, it's a mismatch. I mean, don't get mad at me. Look at Consumer Reports or U.S. News. Georgia's school is better than Alabama's. A Georgia degree carries more weight than an Alabama. So, number one, if a kid's really interested in education, all he's got to do is compare the University of Georgia to other schools in the Southeastern Conference. Now, Vanderbilt might get you, but you ain't going to find many other schools in the SEC that can match what Georgia does academically. And if you're a Georgia graduate, you should feel darn good about that. I know I look at it. I've got a son in college right now. He's got a decision to make where he's going to transfer in a year. I said, hey, you need to take a look at Georgia. I don't know where he'll end up. He'll end up Michigan State. Might be Tennessee, Alabama. I don't know. It's up to him. But I took a look at Georgia's academics. That's one of the first things I did. I was blown away. So, number one, they've got a great academic institution to sell. Number two, I look at Kirby as a young Mark D'Antonio. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Now, Mark D'Antonio worked for Nick Saban as a DB coach, and also played college football as a DB, just like Kirby did. Mark played down at South Carolina. But what Mark did is Mark also coached under Jim Tressel, and he learned how to treat people. He learned how to treat his staff. He learned how to retain a staff. I think Kirby's got those people skills. He's got the Saban plan. But unlike Saban, I think he's going to be able to retain coaches for a long time. Why did Mel Tucker want to leave Nick Saban and come work for Kirby Smart? Ask yourself that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got just as much talent as Alabama. The money's just as good. So why go work with Kirby? I'll tell you why. Because he's better to work for. So I think he's got those people. And then the icing on the cake, which is every fan's dream, is that Kirby played at Georgia. He is a Georgia Bulldog. You know, Michigan's got that with Jim Harbaugh, but the poor guy can't finish higher than third in the division. But Kirby is a guy who's come home and won the SEC in his second season. It's amazing. His story. I mean, Kirby Smart is on his way to the College Football Hall of Fame after only 2 years as a head coach, Brandon. He'd have to really step in it and mess it up bad, and I don't see him doing that. So he's got a good product to sell academically. They're catching up with the facilities. He's a Georgia Bulldog through and through, a guy that can tell the kids he walked on the same practice fields and ran the same sprints in the same buildings. And then he's got a great staff that, because of his management skills, he's able to retain. Now, he's going to lose some guys because people are going to want to hire and people will be promoted up. But I would be very surprised if you saw any of these Georgia guys on Kirby's staff take a lateral move, unlike Saban's staff.
So you mentioned that you're driving down. You're going to make your home in Athens. You're going to begin your official coverage of Dog Nation at the end of this week when Georgia gets on the practice field to start at summer camp. What are you most curious about seeing? When you look ahead to what's going to unfold on Friday, the open practice for the fans to see on Saturday, what are you personally curious about? What are you looking forward to writing about and covering?
Well, I got a real taste of it at SEC Media Days talking to J.R. Reed and Terry Godwin and Jonathan Ledbetter. I liked the chip on the shoulder. I want to see if that's a collective mood. And I want to find the catalyst. I want to find the straw that stirs the drink. I want to know if they have one. If they don't have one, they're not going to win a title. And we know who it was last year, okay? But the middle linebacker's moved on. He's with the Bears now. Davis is gone. You've got to find a catalyst. Who's the catalyst? Who's the guy that everybody talks to? Who's the guy they gravitate to? Who's the guy that pushes them when things get rough and doesn't let anybody take a day off? Who's the guy when it's 11 o'clock and they're on Broad Street that says, you know what, let's go this way instead of that way? Because trouble's that way. We need to get back. We got a champion. We can't afford to be out too late because we can't afford to have anybody doing the wrong. Who's that guy? I want to try and find that guy. And if you can't just ask him, are you the catalyst? Are you the leader? You just see it. You sense it. I think Kirby Smart wants to see that too, Brandon. And covering the Georgia Bulldogs day in and day out, I'll get a better sense for that. You know, I hope Kirby gets to the point where he feels secure enough to let his coordinators and his assistant coaches talk. Great coach. I don't know why Saban doesn't. He's a bit of a control freak. You'll notice they all leave, though. I think really good. The other coaches that I've covered, great coach, they let their coaches talk. You know why? Because they all speak the same language. The message is consistent. I think George is getting very close to that point where Kirby should feel like the message is consistent, and then we can all get a better read on the team, on the players. And I understand the coaches don't want to tell you everything, and I'm not looking for that. But I want to get a good read on this team. I want to find out, you know, if they've got that catalyst, do they have that leadership, and is that chip on the shoulders universal, or is it just a few guys that were coached up to say the right things at Media Day in Atlanta?
Yeah, fascinating stuff, Mike. We appreciate your perspective. Thanks for being here with us today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, and we'll look forward to speaking to you very soon once practice gets going here this weekend.
You bet, Brandon. Thank you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, fascinating stuff there from Mike Griffith there, who's driving down to move to Athens here today. He's been in Athens a lot, but he's about to move into the Classic City here. Maybe hit him up on Twitter at find Mike Griffith on Twitter, hit him up there, and let him know what he should do in terms of making his home there in the Classic City. I'm sure he'd be very grateful for some of those suggestions. Restaurants, kind of everything else in between. Just advice about living here in Athens. I'm sure that'd be a nice thing for Mike. Let me transition here to our SEC through, and let me start with a little news on the Tennessee Volunteers. They get a good news for the 2019 class. A commit here from Sabian Williams, the nation's number one junior college defensive lineman, who made this official on Twitter. Here was the tweet from Sabian Williams, who says, "This isn't a four-year decision. This is a life decision. Committed." It gives the hashtag GBO, and then using the notes app and the picks, like so many people other than him have, goes on to explain his decision to commit to Tennessee. Many of you are aware that Williams also recently visited Georgia. Some interesting quotes from him kind of coming off that Georgia visit, where he told Dog Nation that, you know, that the Georgia heat kind of got to him a little bit in the workout that he had there with UGA seemed to suggest that the UGA workout didn't go quite as well as he would have wanted it to, although he did say ultimately he thought it was okay, but he wasn't thrilled with his performance there at Georgia. Said that Georgia was not putting a lot of pressure on him to commit at the time, so I guess you can read into that what you will as Sabian Williams commits to Tennessee here, nation's number one junior college. Tennessee needs a lot of help, so it needs everything it can get here, and I guess Williams is kind of in that mold, in that mix. It is a little surprising to me that thus far in the Jeremy Pruitt era, he hasn't talked as much about lines of scrimmage as I would have expected him to. Obviously, he's cut from that Nick Saban, Kirby Smart mold. We know how important it is, but when he spoke about things at spring practice, he was using some other sort of buzz phrases from time to time. Up-tempo offense, exciting, you know, athleticism. It seems like that was a lot of the language that kind of came from him during spring practice, but this is obviously some line of scrimmage help for Tennessee. Speaking of that, also on the field for 2018, Tennessee also gets some good news. Chris Lowe put this out on Twitter. I'll show this to you. Lowe, a very good reporter from ESPN, take a look at this, who says that Trey Smith has been cleared to play in 2018 after undergoing treatment for blood clots in his lungs. That's the sort of official story there for what Smith dealt with. For a long time, it was sort of an unspecified medical issue. I'm not a Tennessee fan, but I will admit I'm a Trey Smith fan. Had a chance to meet Smith a couple of years ago when he was in Atlanta for a end-of-season awards banquet from the Touchdown Club of Atlanta. Smith is not only a very good football player, we saw that last year on the field. He's also a pretty sharp dude here, so I'm really happy for Smith to be healthy and back playing football again. I think he's just a really good player, and for Tennessee, sort of any, even the most meager definition of success for 2018, I think includes getting a lot from Trey Smith, and now medically that's been sort of given the okay to actually happen here. if Tennessee has even the slightest bit of happy ending for the 2018 season, Trey Smith almost certainly has to be a part of that, and I guess now he will get a chance to do so. Let me talk now about another SEC East rival for the Georgia Bulldogs, and that's what I think is the biggest rival of all, the Florida Gators. And when so many of you send me the same video, I think it's appropriate for me to show a little bit of this on our program here. Now, obviously, if you're listening on the radio or in the podcast, I'm always aware of the fact that you can't see this stuff, so I'll do my part to describe this as best I can. In fact, let me show you some of this video. That's a Savage, the new strength and conditioning coach there at Florida, doing a little workout, and then it sort of transitions into the best I can describe. This is a costume party. You see Florida players dressed up in all this, you know, various garb here. Cartoon characters. I honestly don't know what any of this is supposed to be, nor do I have any idea what this has to do with working out and getting stronger. If you're listening to the program, you should find this on Florida's official Twitter account. They kind of put all this out here. You know, the other day on Twitter, I said that I thought that Florida was becoming a clown show. I mean, they're actually dressed up like clowns now. I mean, this is one of the most unusual, not SEC things I could have ever seen here. I really don't know what's happened to Florida. It really seems like an example of how the mighty have fallen here. Kind of an ugly, ugly situation there. But listen, I guess they're doing what they can to sort of change the narrative in Florida. I'm just not sure they're changing it for the better. Speaking of narratives, there is one growing around LSU coach Ed Orgeron. I mentioned this on our program yesterday, the notion that Orgeron might be on the hot seat and how that changes the calculus for that LSU trip to that Georgia's going to make coming up in October. Another example of some trouble here for Ed Orgeron, at least based on some of the betting markets and some of the punditry. Somebody put this out on Twitter that according to one online sports book, and I'll show this to you, that Orgeron has the highest odds of being fired of anybody in college football. Sportsbettingdime.com is the source here, so do that what you will. Ed Orgeron 7-1 to be fired in 2018. That puts him ahead of David Beatty from Kansas, Brad Lambert from Charlotte, who I've never heard of, Bob Davie, the former Notre Dame coach at New Mexico, and Everett Withers at Texas State. So that's how bad Ed Orgeron is right now. I don't buy this. I don't believe that that Orgeron's going to get fired in 2018. I don't think LSU's going to be bad enough for that to happen. But it just goes to show you that when Georgia goes to LSU in October, it could be very well dealing with a coach whose back is against the wall. And does that, you know, make the Tigers fight harder there that day? I guess we'll have to find that out when it gets there. One more thing I want to show you here for our SEC through. And, you know, this is not necessarily all that important, but I did think it was interesting. I started the show by quoting anonymous SEC coach who talked to Athlon Sports about Georgia's Jake Fromm. Well, in the category describing Auburn, one anonymous coach gave a guy some credit for Auburn's recent defensive success that I didn't expect to see. The former defensive coordinator Will Muschamp, who was at Auburn for a year, the defense, statistically speaking, did not perform well in his year on the job there. He leaves then, goes to become a South Carolina head coach, but apparently some recruiting mindsets got changed while Muschamp was at Auburn. Let me show you this quote, and I'll read it to you here as well. This is from Athlon Sports. The anonymous SEC coach about Auburn says, Will Muschamp was there for 1 year as defensive coordinator, but he made such an impact on the way Auburn recruited. He pushed the idea of building from the inside out, from the lines to the skill players. That's where Auburn is right now. That's an anonymous SEC coach talking to Athlon Sports. And I mean, I will admit that it is one of those things that has improved here over the course of Gus Malzahn's time of being head coach. They do seem a little bit more line of scrimmage focused than they used to be. Better probably the second half of the year offensive line than defensive line, but certainly that was an important part of the repertoire for Auburn. Georgia fans dealt with that themselves in November there at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And, I mean, I think that Auburn's got among the best defensive lines, not just in the SEC, but the entire country. Kind of interesting that the Will Muschamp recruiting philosophy is, at least according to one coach, what gets some of the credit for that change there at Auburn. I thought that was kind of interesting from Athlon Sports and maybe kind of a nice way to close out our SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, let me dive back into our Georgia conversation here, and we'll do it the way we kind of have been doing here for the course of our offseason with our Dog Day Q&A, a chance for you to sort of weigh in on some of the subject matter from today's program. And I do want to kind of call back to the video that we showed at the beginning of the show or near the beginning of the show with Nick Chubb and Thomas Davis and Sony Michel and Boss Andrews and Malcolm Mitchell, a lot of the guys that were talking about their time at Georgia, what it meant to them, and kind of gets me thinking about the other dogs in the NFL and who your personal favorite is, either who you like watching on Sunday, who you still root for. Many of you have said you might start rooting for the Patriots, as hard as that is to believe a little bit, because they now have so many former Georgia players in their roster. So look at the current landscape of former dogs in the NFL. Who is your favorite? We'll let you weigh in on that as a part of our Dog Day Q&A here today, and we'll look forward to getting some conversation on some of that. By the way, going back to the SEC throw for a moment ago, Bosh Shadrick in our YouTube comment section says that he doesn't think Orgeron can lose his job this year. And I sort of agree with Osei on that. I think that Orgeron at some point in time has got to recruit better, and he's got to perform better on the field. I don't think that's the kind of thing, though, that puts him in jeopardy for 2018, because I think, A, I don't know that Joe Oliva, the LSU athletic director, is in much better shape than Ed Orgeron might be. And I just think that to break up continuity again at LSU so quickly after Les Miles was jettisoned from that program, I think that could be a real big setback for LSU. Their best hope right now might be that Orgeron turns it around, because having to go and buy out another coach and hire a new coach, that might be a pretty difficult thing to do. James Crump, by the way, on our subject of our Dog Day Q&A says, I will never root for the Patriots, even with all the Georgia players in the roster. So James says, I'm not buying into the good feelings about the Pats just because of who they drafted this year. And I would imagine that while there are some Georgia fans who sort of forgive New England for some of its transgressions in the past, there are some other UGA fans who don't necessarily feel that way, given the fact that the Patriots are sort of a hated villain in the NFL. And I guess now there's even some chance they're looking to trade Malcolm Mitchell, so maybe one less Pat coming up at UGA here pretty soon. Willie Gray Jr. mentions his favorite former dog is A.J. Green. And, yeah, I do find myself kind of feeling a little bit the same way about kind of gravitating towards some of the highlight show guys. You know, A.J. Green puts a great collection of highlights together. Todd Gurley, much the same way. You know, these guys that just fill the highlights up, you know, those are fun guys for me, and sort of a fun way to answer this question. We'll keep taking more of your comments on video here live in just a moment. If you're listening to the show, though, on radio or podcast, I'd love to have you reach out to me to answer the Dog Day Q&A via my Twitter feed at Dog Nation Daily. All right, so for now, we'll get ready to close our program. And if you're watching us on video, we're showing the Florida video again here. I don't know why they thought this was a good idea. Sort of a costume party workout session. Now, I'm sure if you're a Florida fan, you probably think there's a really good reason for this. And if you're a Florida fan, you probably have your own spin on this as being really, really fun. But sometimes it seems like Florida lately has been having too much fun and not getting down to business and getting serious. I don't quite know what to make of this yet, but I think it's Georgia fans, at least based on the ones that have reached out to me on Twitter, Dog Nation Daily, feel pretty good about where their favorite team is in relationship to its biggest rival, the Florida Gators. And speaking of the Gators, 87 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. We think they knock off the Gators again. It's our Gatorator Countdown. We do it every day. And we'll see you again tomorrow.